Well, how many of you, in looking at the list of the fruits of the Spirit and the subject for the sermon and the bulletin, found yourself wondering, how is kindness and goodness going to be different? How many have wondered, are we going to get 4 more weeks of what we just got for the last 4 weeks? Because kindness and goodness sound kind of the same. If you're thinking that, I was where you are about 4 weeks ago, saying, what am I going to do? Because I don't want to do 8 weeks of the same thing. I don't think that's going to be a concern. Spent some time looking at goodness. Goodness doesn't seem like as big an idea as some of the others that we've looked at. There's been a few times we started off one of these fruits of the Spirit, and I say, wow, there's just so much to unpack. We're only going to be able to do this. You know, remember, I got up here and said, love. How many aspects are there to love or peace? And these are so big. When you think of goodness, it doesn't feel like one of those big ideas, maybe. Goodness sometimes doesn't even seem like a positive in the way we use it. How was that movie? It was good. You turn on some sporting event or hear somebody talking about sports teams. Good becomes not a compliment. This guy, he's good. Not great, but good. You know, we talk about good, and it's almost like half praise. If something was really praiseworthy, we'd find a better word than good. Good seems like one of the easy fruits of the Spirit to get a handle on. You feel like you're a good person? I think we have good people here. Seems easy. And then you open up your Bible. Go ahead, do it. You open up your Bible to Mark chapter 10. Or Luke chapter 18, doesn't matter. Mark chapter 10. We go to verse 17. And at the beginning of an exchange between Jesus and the guy that we call the rich young ruler, because some of the gospel writers call him the rich young man, some call him the rich ruler. Put them together. At the beginning of their exchange, that we often skip over because we want to get into beating up this guy for what he can't do, he comes up to Jesus. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we usually skip over the first part of what Jesus has to say because we want to get to the bulk of that question, Jesus answering what does he have to do to inherit eternal life. But that's not where Jesus starts. And this has been the response that has been really kicking around in my head for the last few weeks on what to do with it. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. And then he swings into the answer on the eternal life question. He talks about the commandments and talks about what he lacks. But this has been the verse that I've spent a lot of time, I've been really spending a lot of time on. I made the Tuesday class look at it this week because that's what I do when I really want to learn something. I talk to the Tuesday class. Some smart people there. And what you see in Jesus' response is when Jesus talks about being good, when Jesus talks about goodness, he's talking about something a lot bigger than good jump shot, not great. He's talking about something a lot bigger than are you nice. Jesus says, if you want to talk about goodness, and it kind of seems like this is one of those times where somebody asks Jesus a question, and he says, all right, you've asked something. You didn't realize you really wanted to talk about this. Jesus says, you called me good. Let's talk about what good means. And more of what Jesus has to say here has to do with this idea of the goodness of God than we might first notice. He says, you want to talk about good. Let's talk about good. It's something so big. He says, no one is good except God alone. Because you don't go throwing around that word, because that is God's word. I had said you can go to Luke 18 because it's got the same exchange. Matthew's version has it slightly different. This is one of those times that I shouldn't have gone off notes to go over to another book. In Matthew 19, the wording comes out a little differently. The man says, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. And some writers suggest that that's Matthew trying to make what Jesus said a little easier, trying to take off the table the fact of Jesus possibly saying that he's not good. In the way he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Matthew kind of takes that interpretation off the table, because I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. But he's talking about goodness is something that is big. Goodness is something that describes God. If you look through the New Testament, especially, the Bible as a whole, even, when you see good, it is not in that it was good, I'm having a good day, sort of way. Good gets paired often with evil. We have good and we have evil. Sometimes good and bad. These are big polar opposites. And we see God is identified as the good. Things that are good are associated with God. We see, right, a lot of the times that it shows up in the Old Testament is in the Psalms. We have one of those in the bulletin this morning. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's one of those identity words for God. And we're not going to do a lot of concordance work and running around this morning. We'll save some of that for the next few weeks. What I really want to bring out this morning is the impossibility of goodness. Seems like a strange foot to start off on when we're looking at these fruits of the Spirit. We're trying to figure out how to do it. And to start off with saying it's impossible seems strange. When Jesus continues to talk to this rich young man, as we know, he says, keep these laws. And he says, I've kept those laws. And he says, you only need to do one more thing. You need to sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And as we know, it says the man's face fell. He went away because he had great wealth. And then Jesus starts teaching. The guy didn't stick around for the lesson. He starts talking about how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom. He has the line about the camel and the eye of the needle that we've tried to explain away at times, but he means it when he says it's impossible. And the disciples, who were paying attention and realized what Jesus was saying, in verse 26, this is in Mark 10, the disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" And you kind of get the impression of Jesus saying, "You got the point there. You can't. If you are looking to yourself to produce the goodness that is necessary for salvation, you're not going to find it." Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Good teacher, use that word. What do I have to do? You can't do anything. Then what can we do? Nothing. But God. Powerful words that we've seen show up over and over again. But God can. And if you flip over to... we're going to spend the rest of our time in Romans chapters 7 and 8. Jamie, a couple weeks ago, did Sunday evening class, and he said he wanted to build on something that I was doing with the fruit of the Spirit. He thought this might be a good direction. He had no idea that's exactly where I was planning on going with goodness. So I almost asked you for your notes this week. Romans 7 struggles with this goodness idea as well. Doesn't come at it in the same way as Jesus did with the rich young ruler. But you see Paul talking about his desire to be good, to do good. That thing that seems so easy to us until we really start looking at what it means. And in chapter 7, he talks a lot about good. He talks about, "I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." It's in verse 18. "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I want to do. This is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me." He says, "I know what good is." He talks about the good found in the law. He talks about the good that God has shown through the law, and he's trying to do it, and it's right there, and he can't get it. And at this point, the apostles might say, "That's what we've been saying." The rich young ruler might say, "That's what Jesus told me." He's trying to do that good that God has laid out. That example of you seek what is good, that means you seek God. To be good is to be what God is. And he says, "I can't do it. I try to do the good that I want, but I don't. I don't want to do the evil, but I do it." But the story doesn't end in chapter 7. He goes on in chapter 8 to talk about new life. He talks about that struggle. He said, "That struggle that I have, the struggle in the flesh." Your translation might say human nature. He says, "Within my flesh I am not able to do good, because the good is from the Spirit. I'm seeking after the spiritual things, but I keep having the result is the flesh. But chapter 8, verse 10. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Jesus said, it's not possible to be good. No one is good except God. You can't find salvation on your own, but only through God. Paul said, that's been his experience too. He said, I'm seeking after good, and it's just not attainable. It's just out of my reach. I don't know how to do it except Christ is in me. And through his spirit, I've got a chance. If you want to talk about goodness, you have to start with the impossibility of it. And then we can talk about God. Then we can talk about his spirit. You know, it's easy to think of the fruits of the Spirit as the nice ways that spiritual people act. It's the thing church people do. Look at those Christians. Aren't they nice? We should go to church and find out how they got so nice. That's how we think about the fruits of the Spirit sometimes. But the truth is, at least in this case, and I think if we look, and we've been looking at many of these, we can find it there as well. The truth is, we're talking about something we are not capable of being without the Spirit. That's why the fruits of the Spirit. We need the Spirit in order to truly grow these. Something that only the Spirit can grant us. And producing the fruits of the Spirit means having access to something that others don't have. Something that was impossible to have for most of history. Abraham didn't have it. You ever think about that? Abraham didn't have the Spirit. You do. David caught glimpses of it, had it for short times. You have it living in you, connecting you to the Almighty God, helping you to be something that was impossible on your own. And so what does it look like to have this incredible gift? Well, I suppose the gift of what looks like to have the Spirit within you looks a lot like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It looks a lot like God. And that's the impossible goal that's been laid out for us all along. Right? The Old Testament said, be holy as I am holy. Understand who God is and make that your target. Jesus said, salvation is impossible for humans, only for God. And Paul says, you were dead, but that does not describe you anymore. You have new life through the Spirit of God alive in you. So, for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about goodness, which means we're going to talk about God and who God is and what we are called to be because of who God is. And most of all, we're going to talk about the Spirit and how the Spirit takes the impossible and not only makes it possible, but makes it accomplished. Someone told me recently, I heard somebody say that in the Spirit, we are seeking to become what we already are. At the time of our baptism, we were with Christ and received the gift of the Spirit. And we all have had struggles since then. We all have been striving to learn and improve since then, but we received that gift at that time. If you were baptized, if you accepted the gift of the Spirit, then the work has been done. We're just trying to become what we already are. Maybe that's called goodness. Or maybe that's called spiritual. So, I don't think this is going to be the same as a study on kindness. And I think this might be a good time that we're going to take the time to take a closer look at the Spirit. It's the fruits of the Spirit. We've been spending so much time on the fruits. We don't want to overlook the Spirit. So that's where we're going to leave it this morning. Jamie, I still might grab your notes from that class. It was right where I was wanting to go. And I didn't write anything down, but I should have. So, we're going to look at the Spirit, we're going to look at goodness, and hope we can all grow toward that incredible impossibility that has already been accomplished within us. If there's anything you need this morning, we want to hear about it. Look at all the stuff going on around here. So much of it says, we care. We want to help. We want to reach out. This is a congregation that cares for people who are not in this room, and especially for people who are in this room. If you need prayers, if you need hugs, if you need just to share, come forward and let us know. If you haven't yet put on Christ in baptism, receive that gift of the Spirit that we're talking about, no better time than today. If there's anything you need this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I love you with the love.